Hello, everyone. It's Yaakov Lerner, taping this Take 10 on Thursday. We have been in Eretz Yisrael since we arrived late Monday afternoon. It was to surprise our daughter, Shana, who had just turned 40. We shot up in a restaurant where her siblings and the spouses were making a birthday party, and she had no idea that we were coming. We slipped into the restaurant. I tapped her on the back. She turned around. She screamed, broke out hysterically into tears and tears of joy. And what an amazing time it was for our family. And so as we get ready for next week, which is a wonderful week, a very special week, we have had Simcha this week in Eretz Yisrael. Next week is Purim. And I want to speak about that, Parshat Zachar, which is this Shabbos and the holiday of Purim, which comes afterwards. Parshat Zachar, as we know, is on a level which, according to many, many poskim, is beyond all the other readings of the Torah. It's the only one which, according to every single posek, is a mitzvah d'oraisa. We must learn that maftia of Zachar Esah Shah Asolach Amalek B'derach B'tzeis Chom Yitzrayim, found at the end of Parshat Kisetzeh, to never, never forget, to always remember what Amalek, the evil, wicked, diabolical nation, did, attacking us in an unprovoked way after we had left Eretz Mitzrayim. Now, there are two different lessons I want to teach you in terms of reminding you of basic things that are so critical. And they're very different, but each one, I think, is critical in its own way. The one which I've often mentioned from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, who would quote in the name of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, Rav Chaim Briska, is that Amalek is not to be misunderstood as simply being a nation that existed back then in ancient times. That Amalek is actually a special character trait, a behavioral trait, a quality, and very sadly, to our chagrin and to our horror, continues to exist until today. We know the story with Haman. Haman rose to tremendous power as the Mishnah Lamelech, who became the second in command, the prime minister of the Persian Empire that stretched all the way from Ethiopia to India, the entire civilized world, and there was a decree that everyone should bow down to him, and everyone did bow down to the prime minister, as Ahasuerus had commanded them to do. Only one Jew, however, refused to bow down, and that, of course, was Amalek. Mordechai. Mordechai would not bow down to Haman. He would not show subservience to a human being. According to Chazal, part of the reason had to do with the fact that Haman actually deliberately wore little symbols of idols, and so it was almost tantamount to bowing down to Avodah Zarah. Others say that even without that, there was no way that Haman was going to get Mordechai to bow down to a person. Mordechai holds obedience and subservience only to Hashem. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik came along and tried to explain to us, what is it about Amalek that Kadosh Baruch Hu literally goes bonkers and tells us never to forget what they did and always to remember? So he points out that Amalek is a behavioral trait. It's a trait of complete, absolute, irrational anti-Semitism, of hatred, of disgust for Jews, and of being willing to do everything possible to destroy the Jewish people. This is what we see from the original Amalek. Vayavur Amalek v'yilachim im Yisrael v'refidim. Amalek comes and attacks Bnei Yisrael in Refidim, which was the last stop before we came to Har Sinai. This was right after Kriyas Yamsuf. The parsha of Vayavo is the end of Ishalach and right before Yisrael, which is where we have the Aseres HaDibros and the whole story of Mamad Har Sinai that we learn on Shavuos. Everyone was afraid of the Jews. And we say it every single day in the Yaz Yashir. Shamram Yagazim, Chioachas Yoshe Plushes. So all the nations heard. Everyone, even the mighty empire of Plushes, the Pelishtim, the Philistines, were trembling, knowing that the Jews were coming and they may take over their land. And so who would attack? No one would attack except for Amalek. Amalek comes and Amalek attacks, and sure enough, in the end, they are defeated. They are defeated miraculously, because what happens is that Hashem tells Yehoshua, right, through Moshe, his trusty servant, go out and lead the battle, which Yehoshua does. But he says, Moshe, you come up to the mountain, and you're going to lift your hands high. And as long as Moshe could keep his hands up, as he was assisted by Aaron and Hur, Bnei Israel win. And when the tide turns, when Moshe's hands grow weary and lethargic, the tide goes the other way. But then the day Moshe conveyed him, so he got support from these wonderful people, his brother and his nephew, and he is able to hold his hands high, and gloriously the Jewish people destroy most of Amalek. And so Amalek is, in the eyes of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, and I think clearly, absolutely, philosophically true until today, Amalek is not just another Jew hater, another anti-Semite. Amalek is the one who is so obsessed, so incredibly, totally obsessed with the idea of hating Jews and hating what the Jewish nation, Klal Yisrael, represents as the quote-unquote chosen people, that they refuse to allow Jews to continue to survive, and they'll go after the Jewish people even when they know that it's suicidal, even after Kriyas Yamsuf, even at the point where every other nation was trembling for Bnei Yisrael, but not Amalek. Amalek would attack even if it meant that they would hurt themselves. That's how irrational, insane, and completely beyond the pale is the hatred of one nation, the nation of Amalek. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik often said that the idea of Amalek is not genetic, it's behavioral. It's this behavioral characteristic. Any people, and we see a world that's flooded with many of these people, any people that are willing to harm us, even if it means harming themselves, literally destroying themselves, blowing themselves up as suicide bombers and doing all other kinds of suicide missions like the taking down the Twin Towers and stuff like that, that is Amalek. And we are drowning in a sea of Amalekim now. People from an ideology of radical Islam that are willing to be martyrs and think that they'll gain paradise by acting in the way of the patriarch of Amalek, of what was represented by Vayavo Amalek, the original Amalek. So that's the one lesson, that we are constantly baffling Amalek. Do not think you were just remembering an old incident of thousands of years ago. It's fresh, and it's vitally important that we never forget that until Amalek is totally annihilated, the Jewish people cannot feel safe. But the other lesson is a very, very different kind of a lesson. It's a lesson that has to do with Midos, and it's a very beautiful and very powerful lesson taught to us by one of the most brilliant of the early medieval philosophers, right? And that was the great Maharal Mipraag. I should say the later medieval philosophers, the Maharal Mipraag. The Maharal Mipraag writes in one of his Sfarim, when he talks about the lessons of Purim and the importance of what this is about, he says, take a look at the name Haman. Haman, who is the archenemy of the Jewish people. That name Haman happens to also be the same way in which we spell the word Haman. Hamin is a word that's found in the Torah early on in Chumash and Bereishis, at the point where Hashem had just created Adam and Chava and stuck them into Garden of Eden, Gan Eden. And then he says to them that there is trees here in the middle of the garden. There are two trees. One of them is the Eitz Hadas and the other one is the Eitz HaChayim. You are not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, because that is off limits to you, because there has to be a limit. There has to be a ceiling to how much knowledge human beings can have as compared to the infinite wisdom of Hashem. But of course what happens is the Nachash, the wily serpent, comes and entices Chava, gets Chava to eat, and then she comes and convinces her husband, Adam HaRishon, to eat. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu confronts them with this horrible sin. That was the only thing that they were told they're not allowed to do. And Hashem says, Hamin ha'eitz ha'shetzivisicha lo l'achom imenu achal, levilti achom imenu achalta. What did you do? Adam, Chava, what did you do? Hamen, from the tree that I commanded you not to eat, you ate from that tree? And then the punishments, of course, come down very heavily upon them and upon the human race, and we continue to suffer from that with death, with the sickness, with banishment from the Garden of Eden. But the word Hamen points at the Maharal is the exact same spelling as the word Haman. Accident? I believe not, says the Maharal. Obviously deliberate, everything in the Torah is written from Hashem. Everything has infinite levels of meaning and important lessons. And so what is the meaning over here? And the answer, he says, is in the Megillah. Megillah says to take a look at the enemy, the arch enemy, at Haman. Haman was the Mishnah Melech, as I said, the second most powerful person, prime minister of the mighty kingdom, the entire civilized world. He had everything, tremendous fame, tremendous wealth, tremendous power. He was the person who was extolled by everyone as the brilliance behind Ahasuerus, who was referred to more as the Melech Tipesh. Ahasuerus, not so smart, just had the right, you know, genealogy to become the king. But Haman, brilliant, diabolically built, brilliant, and extraordinarily evil. But Haman could not be happy. Could not be happy because there was one little dot, one spot on the canvas one little fly in the ointment, as we would say, and that was, and he tells us, V'chol zeino shoveli, as he said to his wife and family, all my wealth, all of my power, all my prestige, all of my incredible success, eino shoveli, it means nothing to me. It adds up to zero because of that Jew, Mordechai, that every time I see him, he won't bow down to me, and it washes away all the good, all the success, all the fame, all of the incredible, you know, wonderful blessings that I have in my life. It all amounts to nothing unless I can get rid of Mordechai. And so he hatches the plot to go to Achashverosh, but of course, Mordechai finds out about it, and he's able to intervene through Esther. Esther finally consents to go and to plead her case for her people. And the end, of course, is that we are saved and that Haman is hung. And so what is the lesson, according to the Maharal, about Purim? The lesson for us, not just about being on guard against a horrendous enemy that continues to surround us on all sides and tries desperately to destroy us. The lesson for us is the lesson of Pirkei Avos. Ezehu Ashiya Hasameach Bechelko. How dare a Jew or any person who is a godly person who understands that everything in life comes from Hashem, he creates good fortune and he's the one who unfortunately times sends bad fortune. But if you have good fortune, if you have wonderful things, you have your health, you have your family, you have wonderful spouse, you have wonderful children, you have a community, you have basic necessities of life, and you're going to save a Jose Nino Chauvelin? I don't have enough, and there's more than I need, more than I want. That is the horrendous character trait, which is the flaw of Amalek, the flaw of Haman, and it is antithetical to the Jewish people. What Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, and what makes us want to bless us and give us more and more, is when we are Sameach Bechelko. Be an Ashir. Learn on Purim what real wealth is all about. Be happy with what you have. Count your blessings of your family and your friends and your community and your Torah and the Jewish people and the meaning we have in our lives. May Kadosh Baruch Hu bless all of us on this Purim, that it be truly a Purim Sameach, a Purim that brings great simcha to us and great joy and light to the Jewish people. And halavai, it should also bring about the destruction of all of our horrendous enemies. Take care, and it should be a wonderful Shabbos for you.